Hello, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome to our small group Bible study series, How Then Shall We Now Live? This is study number 12, based on Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 33. It's entitled, Be Prayerful. As with each of our Bible studies, the whole point here is that we are making disciples, that we're helping people to come to know Christ by coming to know his word more richly and more deeply. And to do that, we are looking at his word in a way that helps people to consider how they shall now live. And that's really the title, How Then Shall We Now Live? And Romans from chapters 12 through to chapter 16 is all about the practicalities of what Paul has been talking about in Romans. And while chapter 12 in particular has to do with how the Christian community interacts with each other, from chapters 13, it's really about how we interact generally, how we interact with the world, how really we are the showcase of God's grace to the world. And so that's what all of this is about. And here in study number 12, as we'll see in a moment, about being prayerful, we'll see the central place of prayer in being a disciple. Now, for those who are hosting the group, I think it's a great idea that you have someone, maybe a couple, who host the group, and they welcome people with a drink, a beverage of some kind, just welcome them in, depending on the time of day, of course, and time of year, I guess, as well, whether it's a hot drink or a cold drink. And from that interaction, which is just as I don't know that it's just as important as the study itself, but it is important that people get to know each other in an informal setting, that somehow from that you transition. Now, in some contexts, the because of the house or wherever you're meeting, you don't have the luxury of being able to move into a separate room. Perhaps for those who have the space where you can perhaps meet in a dining kitchen area and have a snack, something to drink, and get to know each other and just catch up, and then to migrate perhaps into a sitting room or a lounge room or something like that. Perhaps for your context, you're meeting around a dinner table and that's where it all happens. Well, that's fair enough. But whatever it is, there's a change of pace where it's okay. Now we're going to just start the meeting. And starting the meeting, I suggest that you start with a question which you as group leader are going to note down the answers, particularly to the request part of it. So the first thing is, there's one thing you're thankful for and one thing you would like prayer for. And as people indicate what those things are, just make a note of it. You'll see a template sheet on the website. You can grab that to use to fill in. And then at the end of the night, just grab that and go around the room, just remind people, these are our prayer requests, pick one, and we'll pray for each other. And then it comes around, if it's starting on your left, and it comes back around to you, so that you close the meeting in prayer and maybe mop up any of those requests that weren't mentioned or got overlooked or something like that. All right, this is Be Prayerful. The passage is based on Romans 15, verses 30 to 33, which says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So having gone around the room and got the one thing you're thankful for, one thing you like prayer for, we kick this study off. You may choose to have one person or read a verse and go around until you've read all those four verses. Or just, look, this is what we're looking at and jump into it. I would suggest you invite someone to read that opening paragraph, which says this three times in his epistle to the Romans. That is chapter 12, verse 1, chapter 15, verse 30, chapter 16, verse 17. Paul appeals for an urgent and compelling response from the Roman Christians. Each of these appeals, he is saying to them, carries an enormous gravity within them. So question one, Romans chapter 15, verse 30, which I'd encourage you to invite someone to read that verse out, which says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. What is Paul appealing for, and what does this tell us about this appeal? Well, this is where you're going to put that question out. And look, as a group leader, there are going to be times when you're going to have to get used to or comfortable with a moment of silence. And that's okay. Just let that sit there and let the silence linger just enough for people to maybe think about it or pluck up enough courage to jump in with their answer. But essentially, Paul is appealing for the prayers of the Roman Christians. This tells us that he believed prayer was effective and spiritually powerful. So this is an indication, to us, on the place of prayer that perhaps we don't always fully appreciate. Secondly, question two, what two things in this appeal, based on that verse that we just read, that would have given it more weight for the Romans to really take to heart what Paul was asking of them? So it's based on that same verse. Firstly, he does this. He says, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. So there's, for some reason, Paul appeals and then he adds these two extra imprimaturs to it. By the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. Now that's just worth a discussion, just to have people think, now why would he do that? Why would he do that? And you might discover, or people might contribute and say, look, he recognizes that he's heading into the lion's den. And he did. You know, as we read through Acts, we realize this began Paul's imprisonment. So something was about to happen when he went back. And question three, Paul requests that they strive together, keyword, with him in prayer. There may be a sense that he is not merely appealing for them to individually join with him in prayer, but that they join together to pray for him. Here's the question. Is there any reason to think that praying together with other believers can be more effective than individual praying, right? This is a discussion question. Now, as the discussion goes on, we may, land somewhere like this, that God certainly responds to individuals praying, but there might be reasons why praying with other believers is more powerful or more potent. Firstly, it requires humility. Now, note James chapter 4 and verse 6. Secondly, it invokes unity, which also brings the blessing of God. Note Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. Thirdly, it activates faith, which pleases God. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. So there's some things to consider as you discuss this. Now, F.F. Bruce, he's a famous British Bible scholar. In his commentary on Romans, notes, 3 years after he wrote this letter, Paul at last recognized his hope of visiting Rome. He realized it in a way which he had not expected when he wrote. The misgivings he expected about his reception at Jerusalem in Romans chapter 15, verse 31, proved to be well founded. Now, Paul would be arrested without charges shortly after arriving in Jerusalem. He was held by Roman authorities while they waited to hear from Jewish leaders about what to charge Paul with. Eventually, Paul used his rights as a Roman citizen and appealed to Caesar. He eventually arrived under guard in Rome in around 60 AD, where he was placed under house arrest by the Romans. Question 4. What seems to be Paul's fear, and thus his prayer request, based on his statement in Romans chapter 15, verse 31, which says, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Note also Acts chapter 23, verses 12 to 14, which says 12 and 12 to 14, which says this: when it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath, neither to eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Down to verse 14. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, we have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul. And jokingly, someone has said, and to this day, they still haven't eaten anything because they were unsuccessful in killing Paul. Anyway, what do we see about the link between those things and Paul's request? Well, Paul seems concerned that there would be unbelievers who might jeopardize his mission. With hindsight, we see that these people actually wanted to kill Paul. And there seems that he had a sense of that. And of course, that would jeopardize his mission. So we know that Paul had some prophetic insight about the danger which awaited him in Jerusalem, because we read about this in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24, which says that, now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained, that is, being pushed ahead by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Question 5. Was he requesting prayer for his circumstances to be made more comfortable? Discuss. Have a think about this. Sometimes we're praying because we know, or we've asked for prayer because we know we're about to go into a difficult or tricky situation. Is that the story here? Is that what Paul was praying for here? And I think as you discuss this, you'll hopefully, those in your discussion will realize, no, he actually wasn't. He was praying for the grace to be able to deal with his circumstances and get through it. In Romans chapter 15, verse 32, which says, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. Even though he has asked for prayer that he can fulfill his Christ-given mission, he still reflects a surrender to God. So notice the expression, so that by God's will. In other words, you know, if God's willing, I'll get through this. Question 6, what expression in Romans chapter 15, verse 32, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company, indicates Paul's attitude about his future? Well, it sounds like he was pretty realistic about it, and he's asking that they pray that he can do this with joy. By the way, if you ever get to pray for me, I might appreciate a prayer like that too. So that he wanted to be completely surrendered to God's will about his future, so that by God's will I may come. And to be in that attitude of joy in knowing that he was in the will of God. Question 7. How does Paul's desire to connect with the Roman believers reflect the positive fruits of Christian fellowship? Well, he wanted to be in their company with joy, and he wanted to be refreshed in their company. So there's two benefits of Christian fellowship. Paul begins to sign off his epistle with a statement to the Romans about who God is. There are three "the God of" declarations by Paul in his closing two chapters to them, which are worth reflecting on. Firstly, Romans 15:5, Romans 15:13, Romans 15:33, and Romans 16:20. Worth having a look at. Now, as you do and you close the meeting, just remind people of the prayer requests and have them go around the room and pray and close in prayer. And I trust that this has been a valuable time together. We'll be back with Study 13, which is based on Romans 16, verses 1 to 16. It's called Be Honorable.